Christ. That's something that always amazes me. People were drawn to him because they saw God and they saw the goodness in him. And they were drawn to him. He didn't repel people. He attracted people. And that's my prayer for the church today. That's my prayer for my life. That's my prayer for your life. That people would not be rejected and people would not, well, we would not repel people, but that we would draw people. Amen. Praise God. And so that's what the fruit does. It actually attracts people. It draws people. It brings people in. Amen. And so the Bible talks about the purpose of all this is to bear fruit. That's what it's all about. Amen. It's just about fruit. It mentions several degrees here of fruit. It says, first of all, it talks about fruit. And then it talks about much fruit. More fruit. And much fruit. And even no fruit. Amen. And so all of these degrees are here. Now the Father is, the Bible said he's the vine dresser or the husbandman. And so he comes to the vineyard and he starts looking for fruit. That's what he's there for. And he's disappointed if he doesn't find any. And so he begins to look for fruit. Amen. He begins to look for things and trying to find things. I mentioned this in the lesson the other day because I thought that it was very, very important that we would see this. In the second verse, I want you to notice particularly, he said, every branch in me, everybody say in me. Now that's vital. You have to be in Jesus Christ to qualify here. He said, every branch in me, if we're in Christ, he said, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, what we mentioned before, and I just want to cover this before I get into some areas we did not talk about, I want to explain that get taketh away part because it's easy to misunderstand. That doesn't mean that it's cut off. Actually, what it's talking about, instead of not, it's not cut off, but it is lifted up. It's cleansed. The word is aero in the Greek that it comes from, and the word literally means to take up. So what are you talking about? The tendency of the vine is to grow downward, isn't it? What is the tendency of human nature? To go downward. Amen. It takes effort to go uphill. It's easy to just to go downhill. Amen. That's right. And so the tendency is to go down. And so he said he taketh up. Now what he's saying is, if a great branch off of the vine, it begins to trail in the dust, it gets dirty. And it doesn't get the light that it needs. It can't breathe like it needs to breathe. And it doesn't produce. And so the husbandman comes along and he lifts up the vine and he props it up. He ties it to a trellis or he puts a stake under it. And then he washes it clean. And then he positions it so that it can get sunshine and so that it can get fresh air. Air can circulate around that branch. And the purpose of all of that is so that it will bear fruit. Amen. So you see, whenever you're having problems in your life and you're not producing fruit, God doesn't want to cut you off. He wants to take you up. You see, he props you up. Hallelujah. And then he washes you. Praise God. And he positions you in the sunshine and he blows his sweet breath upon you and that circulates around you so that he can get you to produce some fruit in your life. What was it that Paul wrote? Paul wrote this. He said, it is the goodness of God that draws us to repentance. A lot of people get the idea that God punishes them to repentance. No, 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 no. Punishment's what we usually bring on ourselves. Amen. We're going to talk about that in just a moment as well. But you see, God's idea of getting you to come to him is the goodness of God draws you to repentance. Amen. Now, God's idea of goodness and your idea of goodness is not always the same thing. Just like my mom and dad's idea of goodness and my idea of goodness was not the same thing. when he drug out the belt, he was doing that for my good. I never could understand that until I became a parent. Amen. It was not apparent to me. Amen. I didn't understand how this could be good for me. Now I understand. All you've got to be is around some folks that are totally undisciplined. You'll begin to understand that statement. Amen. But God's idea and his whole purpose of discipline is to make us bear fruit. All right? Now, does God discipline people? The Scripture says he does, doesn't it? Amen. Praise God. Let me read you a little bit of this and just see if he does. First of all, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 5, the Lord said, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Now there's three words there that are tough, but they're very important. First of all, he talks about being rebuked. Amen. Anybody ever had a rebuke? Amen. You know, parents learn how to talk with their eyes and kids learn how to read what they're saying. Anybody ever remember that? Did your mom or dad ever have that ability to just look at you? Across the room, they could do it. They could look at you and just give you the look. And in my instance, and in my experience, I knew what the look was and what it meant. And I was a very quick learner. It didn't usually take much more than the look. But if it did take a little bit more than the look, they'd go the second mile. And so if that didn't do it, I don't know how it was at your house, but if I ever heard my middle name mentioned, that was serious. As long as it was Johnny, that was okay. But if it was ever Johnny Darrell, boy, I knew I better straighten up and fly right. That was a rebuke. I think that's why they give people middle names. So you can really get their attention. Amen. And so it was Johnny Darrell, and I knew that was it. Now, if that didn't get the job done, they could go a little further. And that was what he means here when he talks about scourging. The Bible said he chasteneth, and then it talks about, he goes ahead and he scourges. And he inflicts pain. And the idea of inflicting pain is to save you a lot of pain later in life. To get your attention and to help you get on the right road. Amen. And that has to be the purpose of discipline. And to parents today, if you discipline for any other reason, then it's the wrong reason. I have seen parents discipline their children just because they were embarrassed. Anybody ever here knocking, as an adult, I'm saying, anybody as an adult, have you ever knocked anything over and spilled it? As an adult, have you ever broken a dish or a glass? Then why in the world would you slap a kid around for doing the same thing? Huh? Because you're embarrassed. And that's a shame. Amen. Praise God. So we just discipline. The only reason we discipline is because we love. We discipline to change behavior. And we discipline according to the need. You know, you go as far as you need to go. Amen. I think I'll save that for the young marriage class. Amen. Because I got a lot of stuff I want to do here tonight. But discipline is very, very important in life. Amen. And we're going to talk about why to discipline, when to discipline, and how to discipline. And that'll be coming up in September. Amen. All right. So, but the Lord, the Bible said he disciplines his children. And he don't discipline other people's kids. He disciplines his. Amen. So if you're sinning and getting away with it, you better stop and think whose kids you are. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so the only reason that God disciplines people is so that he can bring forth fruit. Amen. Verse number 10 of this 12th chapter of Hebrews said, "For verily they for a few days chased us after their own pleasure, but he for a prophet, that he may make us partakers of his holiness." See what God said? Because you represent me and because you're my child, I want you to partake of my holiness. I want you to be like me. I want you to live like I want you to live because you represent me. Amen. Now, verse 11. "Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." So that's the whole purpose of it. That's why God allows chastening. That's why God allows discipline into our lives, because He wants to help us. Amen. He wants us to become all that we can be. And again, Romans chapter 2 verse 4 said, "Despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, knowing not that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance." So that's God's whole purpose. He wants to bring us to a place of repentance so that He can bless our lives and help us. Amen. So those are different degrees of love. Praise the Lord that God allows us to go through to get where He wants us to be. Now, somebody here tonight says, "But Brother Grissom, you know, I'm still feel like I'm going through hard times, and I can't think of anything that I've done wrong. I don't know what I've done wrong. I've searched my heart. I've searched my life. As far as I know, there's not any sin in my life that I'm committing. I'm doing everything that I know how to do to please the Lord. I'm praying. I'm working for God. I'm doing all that I need to do, but still, I just don't feel like things are right." Amen. Well, there's another reason for that. Now, let me go back to this second verse. He said, "Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." That is, he lifts it up and takes cares of it. And he said, "And every branch that beareth fruit," are you bearing fruit? He said, "Even if you're bearing fruit," it said, "he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit." So the more you produce, he said, "I'm going to keep purging so that you'll produce even more." What happens on your job when you do a good job? You get a promotion. What is a promotion? More work. Isn't that great? You get to do more work because you do such a good job. Amen. And in the kingdom of God, it's the same, isn't it? When you do a good job, he said, "Great, let me just prune a little here and you can do even better." So the pruning process, whenever you're having a difficult time in life and things are hurting in your life, it doesn't mean that you're not doing good. It may mean exactly that you are doing good, and God sees that you're doing so well, he says, "I'm going to take this away and you can do even better." You can produce even more. What are we looking for? Comfort. What is God looking for? Fruit. Isn't that right? That's why we don't understand him. He says, "Hey, produce." And you're saying, "No, I want to rest." And he said, "There's time for resting when we get to the other side." Amen. But he goes into this process of pruning. The tendency of branches is to bear foliage. Now, leaves are pretty. They look really nice. And they're green. And they look good. But they don't taste good. They're not fruit. And that's the tendency. So what does the Lord do? He comes and he starts pruning and cutting off little side tendrils and leaves and branches and things that are hindering the fruit bearing process. So he starts getting those things out of there. Now he does the same thing in your life. Sometimes God removes distractions from your life. Things that are important to you and you think are important, but the Lord says, you really don't need this. Click. But Lord, I'm busy, but are you producing fruit? Amen. Everybody shake your head like this. You know what one of the signs that Jesus gave us of the end times was? He said, and cares of this life. Cares of this life. Folks, we've got to keep our priorities straight. Yes, let me say that again. We've got to keep our priorities straight. This world is going to do its very best to get you so busy. You'll be busy, but you'll not be fruitful. You're so busy doing stuff, but it's not producing anything here. You feel empty. You feel void. You feel frustrated. You feel exhausted, but you're not producing anything. Anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? So what is God going to do? He's going to start pruning some things out of your life. Amen. Praise God. And so we go into a pruning process. God starts removing things from our lives that we think are extremely, extremely important, but to Him they're not so important. So let me just give you some ideas here from Mr. Wilkerson's story. Some of the differences between discipline and pruning. They both feel the same. They both are painful. But their purpose is not the same. The purpose of discipline is repentance. Right? That's why God sends that. If we need discipline, if we're doing something wrong, God sends discipline so that we'll repent, get right with God. Because when we're unrepentant and we're doing the wrong things, we have no fruit. And God wants us to produce fruit. So, if He can get us to repent, we'll start producing fruit in our life. Now, what about if you have no sin and you are producing fruit, what is God's goal? More fruit. So that's what pruning does. Now, the purpose of pruning then is not when you've done something wrong. It means you've done something right. And its purpose is to get you to produce more fruit. All right? Amen. And so when God deals with discipline, it's to get sin out of your life. Pruning is to get self out of your life. Self out of your life. Self out of your life. You know what the greatest hindrance that you and I have is? It's not the devil. It's not the devil. We blame him a lot, but he's not your biggest enemy. The biggest enemy you face is the one you see in the mirror every morning. It's this old flesh right here. Amen. God wants us to do good. The devil wants us to do bad. And we cast the deciding vote. God wants us to go to heaven. The devil wants us to go to hell. And we cast the deciding vote. Amen. Whatever it is, you see, we make the final decision, don't we? And God wants us to make the right decision, so He's helping us. Amen. So whenever we're disciplined, the purpose of discipline is to make us feel sad. Anybody ever feel sad when you got a whipping? Amen. Yeah. After you got mad, you got sad. Amen. And you realize I did wrong. And that's what the purpose is. But the emotions that you should feel when you're being pruned, and you understand this is a pruning process here, is you ought to feel relieved and just trust God. He knows what He's doing. He's taking care of business in your life. He's taking care of business in your life. Amen. Praise God. And so what is the proper response to pruning? It's just to go ahead and release and give God permission to do what He needs to do. Pruning comes after praying such prayers as, Lord, I want to do more for You. I want to be a soul winner. I really want to live for you, God. I want to be like you. Amen. And he says, all right. And he picks up the shears. Amen. Now we pray those prayers, and we should pray those prayers, and we mean those prayers. And because we pray those prayers, God says, takes us at our word. And he says, all right, I'm going to make you like me. Amen. And he starts pruning some things out of our lives, and sometimes it's a little bit difficult. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's painful. Amen. But God always knows what he's doing, doesn't he? You say, well, Brother Grissom, when is it going to stop? Well, when God gets through. When he gets through, that's when it's going to stop. All right. Amen. James said this, James 1, verse 3 and 4. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So then how do we get perfection in our lives? He said, through patience. Amen. Through the trying of your patience. Has your patience ever been tried? Boy, I heard that one. You're trying my patience, boy. I didn't know I was an instrument of the Lord, see? Amen. He said, through the trying of your patience. Amen. Then you have the perfect work. And that's how we get better. That's how we become the people that we truly, genuinely want to be. Now, when you take a test, the purpose of a test is to push you beyond where you are right now. To get you out of the proverbial rut. Amen. God doesn't want you to be in a rut. You know what a rut is? It's a grave with both ends kicked out. Amen. It's no different than a grave, except if you go forward, there's a way out. Amen. That's the only difference in a grave and a rut. Amen. And so God wants to, he wants to get you through that, and he doesn't want you to be in a rut. Amen. He wants you to continue to produce and to be better. Amen. So God does what is required to do that. We have some great inspirational stories in the Bible about God working in some of these areas. Amen. We've used that example before about how the Lord allowed Lazarus to die. Amen. Because he was doing some pruning, wasn't he? You see, Lazarus and Martha and Mary all knew that Jesus was a great healer. But he wanted to take them to the next level. He wanted to show them that he was the resurrection and the life. And the only way that he could do that was to resurrect somebody. And God chose Lazarus to do that for. Amen. So if you are chosen for some difficult task to be a good example, it's God putting a lot of confidence in you. Hello? I said, God is putting a lot of confidence in you. But you think, well, Lord, I don't know that I need this much confidence. Amen. Praise God. And he didn't ask Lazarus permission. And hear me, he did not explain beforehand what was going to happen. That's what trust is, isn't it? That's what real faith is. Real faith is just trusting God when you have no idea what he's up to. And sometimes in the middle of it, you're wondering, where in the world are you, Lord? Well, he's pruning. He's clipping things away. Amen. In your life. And it's painful, and you don't understand what's going on, and it's not easy. Amen. But pruning always is a season. Or it's a season to prune. And then the pruning stops until the next season. So it's not going to always be that way. You know what I'm saying? It's going to get better. But you're going to go through a season of that, and then there'll be a time of blessing, and then there'll be a time of producing. Could I just say this tonight? That church bodies go through this process. Now, individuals go through this process, but so do whole church bodies go through this process. Amen. And there are things that we see going on, and that most of us don't really like change. Somebody, and I think they were right, they said the only human that likes change is a baby with a wet diaper. They like change. But most of us do not like change, do we? So you shake your head like this, Brother Grissom, you're right, sir. Thank you for telling me the truth. Amen. We don't like change. As long as we're doing good and as long as we're comfortable, we don't want anything to change. Amen. And but the Lord wants what? What does He want from the church? Fruit. Amen. How much does He want? Much fruit. Amen. We're producing fruit. He says, great. Let's prune a little bit and you can do better than this. Amen. Praise God. And so we're going through a process. Amen. That's what pruning does. It produces. Amen. And it precedes produce. Yes, it does. Amen. You see, as the older a plant gets, the more foliage it wants to produce. Then the more it does produce. Produces a lot. Amen. And it can look good whether it's producing or not. Let me say that again. It can look good whether it's producing or not. Did you know that you can learn how to have church? You can learn how to have church. Laodicea did. Amen. Laodicea was a Jesus name, apostolic, Pentecostal, first generation church. Yes, it was. It was one of the seven churches of Asia. And they were having church. And the Lord wasn't even inside. He was outside knocking on the door. Said, if any man will open, I will come into him, sup with him, and he with me. You can learn how to have church even without Jesus Christ. What is that, Brother Grissom? That's when you're just producing for show. But nothing's happening in here. Why is it that some people can come to church and shout on Sunday, but they can't live it on Monday? Hello? Why is that? Because they've learned how to produce, but they're not producing fruit. They're just producing for show. Amen. And so what does God want to do? He wants to do some pruning. He understands that. He knows that you have the potential to do much. And so He prunes you so that you can do more than you've ever done before. Now, what are the areas that God works in when He prunes people? First of all, He works in relationships. Amen. He works in relationships. If you want to live close to God, sometimes you have to change some of your relationships. You know, it's really hard to be spiritual and be around carnal people all the time. What's the old saying? If you lay down with dogs, you'll get fleas. And I'm not saying that you can't try to be around to influence people, but I'm talking about just hanging around carnal people all the time. And all they talk about is carnal things and worldly things. Amen. That's all they talk about. You're not going to produce much fruit being around people like that. So one area that God will begin to prune is some relationships. Amen. Praise God. You know, we used to be really good friends, but we're not really good friends anymore. Well, are they spiritual? If they're carnal people, God may have started putting some distance between you and them. Just because He wants you to produce more. Amen. Praise God. So relationships is an area that God begins to prune some things. Amen. In relationships. Did He do that to Abraham? What did He ask? What He loved the most. His son. Amen. Praise God. His son. Praise God. So God wants... What did He say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. What do we do sometimes? We say, well, you know, I'm going to do this and that and the other thing, and I'm going to get all my ducks in a row, and then I'm going to serve the Lord. Right? You know, I'm going to go out and I'm going to find me a husband. I'm going to find me a wife. I'm going to find a job. I'm going to find a career. I'm going to get, and you get all these things lined out. And then when I get all that done, I'm really going to serve the Lord. You're getting the cart before the horse. Amen. Praise God. And so he said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And so God, he sometimes purges relationships into our lives. Amen. Another thing that God will purge is your reason to know, your right to know why. Your right to know why. Isn't that what we always want to know? God, why? And he just cuts that off. He says, you don't need that. Click. Amen. We used to sing that old song, we'll understand it better by and by. Amen. And so sometimes God doesn't ever tell you why. He just snips that off. Amen. We want to know why. He said, no, you don't need to know why. Amen. Just know that you're being pruned. And I want you to produce more fruit. Amen. And sometimes God purges possessions. You know, I know a lot of folks, as soon as they start having times, hard times financially, they blame it on the devil. There's a whole Christian doctrine based on the, you know, that. That if you're serving God, you're supposed to be blessed, man. You're supposed to be walking in high cotton. You're supposed to be, I mean, money's supposed to be in your mailbox every day when you go out. Amen. You're supposed to be driving the best, living in the best, eating the best. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And all those guys that do that want you to send in some seed money to get started today. Yeah. And let me tell you something. You go back and read your Bible. What did Jesus say? Do you think Jesus was a blessed man? Was Jesus a blessed man? I believe he was. He said, the foxes of the have their holes, and the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Amen. But was he blessed? Yeah, he's blessed. Don't buy into this phony baloney. That you know, if you live for God, you're just going to be financially blessed. It's all going to roll in. No, sir, the devil can play that game. Amen. Praise God. Yes, and so sometimes we can lose possessions, can't we? Let me read this to you. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. 1 Timothy 6 and 10. The Bible said, and you know this verse, for the love of money, not just money, but the love of money, is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You see what he's saying? Now, God's not against money. He knows that you need some money. He said, but if that becomes your goal and that becomes your God, amen, if that's what you seek after, that's what you love, he said, many have erred from the faith. Anybody here ever known anybody that got their eye on money and erred from the faith? And I'm not talking about people that got rich. Some of them didn't get rich. They just, you know, they just were chasing the dollar, and it just led them right out of the church. Amen. Is this all right? Hope so. Amen. I'm just trying to explain to you why you're going to go through some things in life. And this part of the verse always really grabs me. And pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Isn't that sad? Amen. Verse 17 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. He said, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Anybody ever known anybody that had a bunch of stuff and didn't enjoy it? Had all kinds of stuff, but they couldn't enjoy it. Amen. And I know other folks that didn't have much of anything, but they were so joyful. They were so happy. Praise God. Amen. My mom used to say they acted like they had good sense. Amen. Didn't have anything, but didn't know. Didn't have better sense than just to go ahead and be happy anyway. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, that's true riches. Amen. Verse 18. They that do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Amen. He said that's true riches, right? Rich in good works, ready to distribute. In other words, they're not stingy. Amen. They're ready to distribute. They're ready to share. Amen. Willing to communicate. Praise God. Laying up for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Amen. And so, sometimes God prunes in the area of possessions. That's right. And sometimes he removes things that we don't understand why he would do that. Praise God. Again, let me just give you a good example of this. I knew a man that prayed one Sunday night. He said, God, he said, I want to be a soul winner. And he said the dumbest thing. He said, I don't care if I lose my job tomorrow. I want to be a soul winner. He prayed that Sunday night. He got up Monday morning. He went to work. And the gate was locked. The company had shut down. And the gates were locked. And he lost his job. Now, how's that for answering prayer? I mean, that was quick, wasn't it? So you know what he did? He started looking for a job. And he went and he got another job. He went to work. And at break time, he looked over in the break room at lunchtime, and there was a young man sitting there, and he was reading the Bible at lunchtime. And this good man that had prayed that prayer that was being pruned and didn't know it, he looked over at the young man. He said, I see, are you a Christian? The young man said, I'm trying to be. He said, well, he said, what are you reading there? And the young man said, I was just reading here. I don't know. Are you a Christian? The man said, yes, I am. He said, well, I'm reading over here in the book of Acts chapter 2 in this 38th verse. Do you know anything about that? He said, yeah, I believe I can tell you about that one. Amen. And so he went and he explained the verse to the young man, and the young man came to Life Tabernacle in Houston, Texas, and got the Holy Ghost and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and today he's a missionary in the country of Portugal. All because the young man prayed. God got a hold of his heart, and he prayed what would have been a foolish prayer. But God said, I'm going to do some pruning here, and so he just cut him loose from a job that he thought was very important in his life. And then God opened another door and put him another. Can God do that for somebody here? If he closes one door, can he open another one? And he will. And he will. And you know what? He may not explain to you why. He might just do it. Amen. Praise God. But that's what pruning is, you understand. God, he prunes, he clips, he cuts, he shuts the door, he opens another door. That's just the way God works. Amen. And our faith is just simply trusting God, even when we have no idea what he's doing. And we don't understand why in the world he's doing what he's doing. But God just does. And so we just trust him. Amen. We just go ahead and just trust him. Amen. And then the last thing that I want to talk about that God prunes is our self-significance. Amen. I think often about this man called Gideon. God called Gideon a mighty man of valor while he was hiding in a hole from his enemies. And yet God, you think God's got a sense of humor or what? Here he is hiding down this hole, and God calls him, "Gideon, thou mighty man of valor." Because God saw something in Gideon that he could use. But he did some pruning. Boy, did he ever. You remember, Gideon went out and he had this great army. 32,000 men. And they were getting ready to go fight a superior enemy. Bigger than 32,000. That was a small army. But he had great faith that God was with them, and with 32,000 men they could overcome the enemy. And God said, uh-uh. He said, let's prune a little bit here. He said, Gideon, he said, you, this is too many men. He said, you go out and tell everybody that's afraid to go home. 22,000 men said they were cowards and went home. Whoo! He already had a little army. Now he had a really small army. 10,000 men left. And God said, let's prune a little bit more. That's too many. And he said, you take these men down and you watch real closely. He said, and take them down to the river when they're real thirsty. And you watch them. And those guys that get down there and stick their face in the water and blubber around and run water all over their head and keep their eyes off of the enemy or got their head down, can't see the enemy. He said, you just send them home. He said, but you watch those guys that keep their eyes on the prize and they reach down with their hand and they scoop out the water and raise it up to their mouth because they're diligent and they're watching things. And he said, now that's the ones you want to keep. And when he got through, how many did he have? 300 men out of 32,000. Hey, you talk about pruning. Whoa. Amen. Now you're getting down to the heart of gold here. Amen. Now these are the warriors. This is what I've been trying to get to right here. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Holly used to have a great saying. He said there's a big difference between growth and the swelling. He said swelling always goes down. And sometimes what people call revival and a lot of people coming is just a swelling. And it will go down. But growth will always stay. And it produces more. And God's not interested in swelling. God is interested in growth. And there's no shortcut to that. Amen. Praise God. Now, I'm hurrying here. I know it's my time's gone. But we're getting there. All right, so 300 men. That's all they had left. But God took those 300 men, and who got all the glory? God did. Defeated the enemy, and God got all of the glory. And that's what he's interested in, folks. God's going to get the glory. Amen. So when he starts whittling, don't worry. He's going to stop. There'll still be something left. And what is left is going to be the heart. What is left is going to be the best. What is left is going to be exactly what he needs to get the job done. So when God starts whittling in your life and you start seeing precious things that you thought were very important to you and they're getting taken away, one thing after the other, God's getting right down to the heart of the matter. And he said, now when we get down here, we're going to see some fruit. Woo! Woo! We get down here, we're going to see some fruit, folks. Praise God! And so he just keeps whittling. And it just keeps pruning until it gets right down to the heart of the matter. Amen. Let me close with this in the book of Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 5. Let me start with verse number 4. We'll go there. Paul said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more. Paul said, I have some things that I could boast about if I wanted to. You ever had to bite your tongue when people were boasting? They didn't have anything to boast about. And you were thinking, buddy, could I lay you in the shade? But I won't. But I won't. Amen. Praise God. People talking about their troubles when you think, you don't even know what trouble is, honey. You've never seen it yet. Amen. Praise God. I hope you're not one of those folks when people's talking about, you try to tell them a little about something and they say, well, that's nothing. Well, it is to you. Amen. Praise God. Well, let me go on here. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost here, folks. We're talking about something tonight that's going to help somebody. So Paul said, then he goes on, and he does boast a little. He says, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. You see what he's doing. First of all, he says, I started this thing when I was 8 days old. I've been in this for a while. And then he says, of the stock of Israel. Now, you see, there were Jews that were scattered all over the world. And they were still Jews, but Paul said, not me. I stayed right here in Israel the whole time. I was born here. I've lived here. This is home to me. Right here. Amen. And then he says of the tribe of Benjamin. Amen. You, now some of you others, you know you're of a different tribe. He said, but I am the tribe of tribes. Tribe of Benjamin. He said, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. What that means is that Paul, you know, there was a lot of Jews that couldn't even speak Hebrew. Hebrew was the native tongue. But they grew up in other places and they spoke Greek and they spoke Latin. They spoke other languages, but they couldn't speak Hebrew. He said, I speak the language and I know the culture. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. This is what I know. Studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He said, as touching the law of Pharisee. Not only all of that, he said, but you talk about the law. He said, I'm the strictest bunch. You talk about, I'm ultra conservative. He said, when it comes to the law. A Pharisee of the Pharisees. Concerning zeal, he said, persecuting the church. That's how far he carried it. Touching righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Boy, that's saying a lot, isn't it? He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. In other words, the Lord just pruned all of that off. Amen. Praise God. Now, you know, Paul was one of the greatest miracles in the New Testament. I mean, Paul didn't even love Jews that disagreed with him. He thought that just a very few people, including himself and maybe a few others, were going to be saved. Everybody else didn't even deserve to be saved, and he didn't even care if they were or not. And then this sect of Christians came up, and he said, well, we'll just get rid of them. I mean, here's a man, he's full of hatred. And God so changed that man and pruned that man and cut things out of that man and made him the apostle to the Gentiles. There was never a more prejudiced person than Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was one of the most prejudiced people you'd ever meet in your life. You would not have liked him B.C., before Christ. But after God got through, and I'm talking about pruning here, folks. And you know what? It probably wasn't easy for Paul either. Huh? I said it wasn't easy for Paul either. But God just got into his heart and started pruning things. And he put him on the shelf for 10 years before he ever did anything for God. You know why? Because God was doing some pruning in his life. Cutting some things out of him. Praise God. Now hear me tonight, and you hear me well. Don't you use that excuse, well, that's just the way I grew up, and that's the way I am. That won't cut it with God. That won't cut it with God. Righteousness is righteousness. Amen. I'm not here to condemn anybody's heritage. But if you grew up in a heritage that taught you things that are against Christianity and righteousness, they were just wrong. I'm sorry. You just put them in the hands of God, and God bless them. But God's going to work in your heart if you'll let Him. And if you stop God from pruning, you'll stop the process of fruitfulness. I know some Christians. We call them Christians. Amen. And they look like Christians. They dress like Christians. They'll tell you that they're Christians, but they sure have some attitudes that are not Christian. You know why? Because they need some pruning. Amen. And God tries real hard. Amen. But some people just won't let Him touch certain areas of their life. There are some little things they want to hold on to. Amen. But if we're going to be like Jesus, we've got to let Him work on it all. Praise God, we've got to let Him work on it all. Just let Him keep clipping. Amen. And you will be fruitful. And God will be happy. And you will be blessed. The whole purpose. What did He say? These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And your joy will not be complete until you are just where God and just what God wants you to be. That's when your joy will be the greatest. I said, that's when your joy will be the greatest. Amen. And somebody said, but Brother Grissom, what about me? You just ask the pivotal question and let us know where you are. As long as you're worried about you, you hadn't got it yet. Wow! Boy, that was tough. No, that was just truth. As long as it's just about you, you hadn't got it yet. Amen. Let's stand together tonight before I get in more trouble. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I hope this was helpful to somebody tonight. It was helpful to me. Amen. Praise God. I believe that God is so interested and so in love with us that He wants to make us better than we are. Amen. He wants to make us better than we are. Praise God. You're good. Brother Nathaniel Urshan, that's what he said his father used to tell him. Brother Andrew Urshan, he'd say, Nathan, he said, you sure are a good boy, but there's a lot of room for improvement. Amen. You sure are a good boy, but there's a lot of room for improvement. Amen. You know what? I think God would tell us tonight. He'd call you by your name, and He said, I sure do love you. I love you a lot. And you sure are a good person, but there's room for improvement. And as long as there is, He's going to improve you. Praise God. Amen. Oh, there really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet, there's an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect just according to His plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hand. Oh, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. Oh, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. Once again, oh, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. Amen. Lord Jesus, tonight, thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for being loving and kind and generous to us. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for not turning away from us. And never let it be so. God, just keep on working, even when it's difficult, even when it's painful, even when I don't understand, even when I can't seem to touch the heavens. I do want to be like you. Amen. I want to be a child of God. Amen. I want to bear fruit in my life that will glorify God. Amen. So continue to work on us tonight. As the United Pentecostal Church of Athens, Texas, work on us, Lord. Amen. Help us to be a genuine Christian church. Help us to be an authentically Christian church. Amen. Help us not just to be an organization. Help us not just to be another religion, but help us to be genuinely Christian through and through. Amen. That's what we want to be. And you know what needs to be changed in our lives. You know how to help us and make us what we ought to be. Open our eyes. Let us see clearly. Let us see honestly and truthfully. And help us to be willing to let you work in us. And we thank you for it and praise you for it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.